Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. We're back in Romans chapter 9 after our week off for Bible school. And as I mentioned, this is our third week in Romans chapter 9. We're going to finish it up tonight. We'll start in verse 25 and go down through verse 33. But this is a section of Romans. As I've mentioned, the last couple weeks we've been in, it's not really part of the doctrinal section. It's not really part of the practical section. The doctrinal section, what we believe, ended in chapter 8. The practical section starts in chapter 12, where Paul says, okay, this is what we believe, this is how it ought to affect how we live. But in these three chapters, Paul's dealing with the Jews. He's dealing with his people. He's dealing with the fact that they have rejected the Messiah. And again, and I say that, I don't want to paint with a broad brush. There were some Jewish Christians. The church at Rome had some Jewish Christians in it. But for the most part, the Jews rejected Christ. They rejected him as the Messiah. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So Paul was having to deal with this issue. He was having to deal with the Gentiles, and they were asking the question, well, these were God's people. I mean, they had they had all the prophets, and they had the Ten Commandments, and they had all the laws. How come they have rejected the gospel? Why are they rejecting this one that was promised through them to the world? Why are they rejecting him? And then he had to deal with the Jews, the Christian Jews, because many of them thought, well, since most of our people have rejected Christ, God must be done with us. We must still not have a part in his plan for the rest of the age. And Paul was saying to them, oh, yeah, God's not done with you yet. You're still part of the plan. There's still things that he has for you to do in his eternal plan. And so we've been talking about how Paul is dealing with the church at Rome in those two issues. And so again, we start tonight in verse 25, and you're going to see where Paul, in these last few verses of chapter 9, goes back to the Old Testament prophets, a couple of the Old Testament prophets, and uses the experiences of their day to comment on what's going on in his day, the fact that the Jewish people were turning away from God. So in verse 25, the Bible says, as he saith also in Osi, now that's another name for Hosea, okay? So as he saith also in Osi, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. So again, he's going back to Hosea. Verse 25 is a paraphrase of Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. And again, we've studied the book of Hosea. It's been a while. But the book of Hosea is a picture or an Old Testament parable, however you want to talk about it, however you want to describe it, that talks about a man and his wife and his family and how their experience pictures the experience that God was having with his people. You remember God told Hosea to go marry a harlot. They had a son named Jezreel. Had a son named Jezreel that Hosea was confident that was his son. His son with Gomer, the harlot that he married. But then Gomer had two more children. She had a daughter and another son, and Hosea was not convinced that they were his children. In fact, you go back and read the book of Hosea, and the names that he gave his second and third child would indicate that he was convinced that they weren't his children. He named his daughter Lo-Ammi, which means in the Hebrew, no kin of mine. So can you imagine a dad naming his daughter, no kin of mine? And then he named his son Lo-Ruhamah, which in the Hebrew means one for whom I have no natural affection. So again, probably Gomer had these children with other men. And as Hosea named them, he expressed his dismay for her unfaithfulness in having those children outside of their wedding vows. And the names that Hosea gave his children express how God felt for his people when they turned away from him. when God's people, the Israelites, turned away from him, turned away from the covenant that he had made with them. The covenant he had made with them was, hey, you be my people, I'll be your God. And there were obligations on both sides. I mean, God had the obligation to take care of his people, to provide for them, to watch over them. And the people had an obligation to make him their God and only him their God, to worship only him, to serve only him. And so when they turned away from him and they started worshiping other gods, God felt the same way toward them that Hosea felt toward these the last two children that Gomer had. Hey, God was saying, hey, these people, they've broken my covenant. I've lost some of my affection for them because of their disobedience. And in verse 26, it says, and it came, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, again, that verse is not from the book of Hosea, but what Paul is saying, he's taken it from what he's just said from the book of Hosea. He's saying there has been a people which it has been said about, ye are not my people, the Gentiles. They weren't Jews. They weren't descendants of Abraham. And so it was said about them that they weren't the people of God, but God said, they shall be called the children of the living God. Because I'm going to extend, as Paul did, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, I am going to extend to the Gentiles the gospel. I am going to extend to the Gentiles the invitation to become God's children. My children, the children that I chose for my people, have turned away from me. They've broken the covenant that we've had. They've turned away from my laws and my principles. And so I'm going to go to a people which have not been mine up till this point, and I'm going to make them mine. I'm going to give them an opportunity to become the children of God. And I would just remind you, the Jews were not chosen to be God's children because they were more in number than any other people. They were not chosen to be God's children because they were mightier than other people. I mean, the Bible tells us that in the Old Testament. He said, I didn't choose you because you were more in number than anybody else. I didn't choose you because you were mightier. I didn't choose you because you were smarter than everybody else. I chose you as an act of grace. I mean, it was my choice. I needed a people to work my plan for the world and to work my plan for eternity through. I needed a people. I chose you to be my people, not because of merit, not because of any merit that you had. It was just my choice. I chose Israel. I chose the Jews as an act of grace to work my plan for the earth through. And in the same way, he has chosen us. Because I'm glad he extended the gospel to the Gentiles, because you and I are Gentiles. I mean, we wouldn't have been included unless God extended the invitation to us. But again, he did not choose us because of any merit. He did not choose us because we're mightier than anybody or because we're smarter than anybody. The Lord chose every one of us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord chose every one of us, not based on merit, amen, based on grace. An act, a loving act of God. None of us deserved it. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But he chose us. He gives us the opportunity to be a child of his, to be part of his family as an act of grace. He sent Jesus to die for our sin, and that's how we become one of his children. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To them gave he power to become the children of God. And so, Paul's saying, now he's saying to the Gentiles, he's saying to the Jews, what's happening today has happened before. And back in Hosea's day, the Jews turned away from me. They broke the covenant. And now I brought them back. I brought them back. He would say to the Christian Jews, I brought them back and I still used them. And he would say to the Gentiles, I'm giving you the invitation to come into my family too. All right, look at verse 27, Romans chapter 9. Esaias, which is another name for Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Let me go ahead and read verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Verses 27 and 28 it goes back to Isaiah chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. And what Isaiah was prophesying in his day, in Isaiah chapter 10, was although Israel had a lot of people, they were like the sand of the sea. Remember, that's the promise that God made to Abraham. He said, hey, your descendants are going to, if you can count the stars in the sky, that's how many descendants you're going to have. If you can count the grains of sand on the earth, that's how many descendants. And so Isaiah was saying, hey, yeah, Israel, there's a lot of Jews. There's a lot of Israelites, like the sand of the sea. He said, only a small minority, a remnant, shall be saved from the judgment that God was going to bring Israel on Israel through the Assyrians. That's who Isaiah was prophesying. That's what he was saying was going to happen. You've turned away from God. You've broken the covenant. You've gone and worshiped false gods. God's going to bring judgment. He's going to bring the judgment. The Assyrians are going to come and take the nation. And they're going to kill a lot of you. But God says, through Isaiah, he says there's a remnant that's going to be saved. When God brought his punishment on his people, he always saved a remnant. There was always a small group of people that God saved, that God preserved, that God would use to continue his plan for the world through the Jews. Only a remnant will survive, but it will at least be a remnant. And again, God always has a people. And so again, Paul's applying it to what's going on in his day. There's only a remnant of the Jews that believe. The majority have rejected Christ. They've rejected him as the Messiah. But there are some. There are some that are still true to God. There are some that are keeping the covenant. There are some that have received the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. They even though they were Jewish, they recognized him as the promised Messiah, as the one that was going to come. Verse 28. Again, let me read again. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So again, God will punish his people, but his punishment will be quick and thorough. He will cut it short to save Israel from destroying itself spiritually. He will cut the judgment short. And in his, there is a remnant, even in Paul's day. In Isaiah's day, in Paul's day, that will be used by God to carry out his plan for the world and for the people of the world through the Jews. And I want to tell you, God's plan hasn't changed. He still has a plan today in 2015 for the Jewish people. And we need to be careful about what we do about turning away from Israel. Israel is still God's chosen people. They still have a big part to play in the plan of God. And so we need to be careful. We need to protect and continue the relationship that we've had with Israel up until this time. All right, look at verse 29. And as Elias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and made like unto Gomorrah. So in verse 29, Paul is quoting Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. And he's saying, it's only because of the grace of God that a seed or a remnant is saved. And they have not been destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll just remind you tonight. Except for four people, everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. Lot, his wife, and two of his daughters are the only four people that got out of those two cities. Everybody else was destroyed with the fire and brimstone that fell from heaven. And they were saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, not because they deserved it, not because they met the conditions that Abraham had prayed for. Remember, he got down to 10 people. He said he begged God. He said, God, if you find 10, started with 50, but he got down to 10. If you find 10 righteous people in Sodom, won't you save it? Won't you save it for 10 people? He didn't find 10. And so, they didn't meet the conditions that God had agreed to with Abraham. And yet, in spite of that, the grace of God, God saved Lot. He saved his two daughters. His wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. She couldn't get to the city of Sodom. She was probably from Sodom. Lot probably married a girl from Sodom. She couldn't get Sodom out of her heart and out of her mind. And the angel said, don't look back. And she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. So, what Paul is quoting Isaiah saying is, hey, in Isaiah's day, there was a remnant that was saved, and it was saved because of the grace of God. And there is a remnant today, a remnant of Jewish people that will be saved because of the grace of God. Verse 30, what shall we say then? Again, Paul likes to ask these rhetorical questions. He's not expecting an answer. He just wants to get people to think. Okay, so you've heard all this. What are you going to say? Again, he's talking to the Gentiles. He's talking to the Gentile Christians. He's talking to the Jewish Christians. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. And so he's going to sum up what he's been talking about. In chapter 9, he says, look, the Gentiles, they haven't followed after righteousness. And what he's talking about is the law of righteousness. The way you got, and the word righteousness means being right with God, having a right relationship with God. You can't have a right relationship with God with sin in your life. As a sinner, we can't. So that sin has to be paid for. We either have to pay for it, the wages of sin is death, or somebody else has to pay for it for us. Jesus Christ did that on Calvary. And so Paul is saying, so he's summing up, he says, the Gentiles, they didn't follow after the law to keep the law, to be righteous with God. They didn't have the law. The law was not given to them. But they attained righteousness. Again, the Gentiles have attained that right relationship with God. They did not get it by keeping the law. They got it by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Again, Paul had earlier said in the book of Romans, everybody's a sinner, every Gentile and every Jew. Jesus died for every sinner, every Gentile and every Jew. He said, Paul would write in the book of Ephesians later on, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody gets saved by keeping the law. The Gentiles didn't have the law, so they couldn't. They couldn't attain that right relationship with God through the law, but they attained that right relationship, as that verse says, by faith, by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. But Israel, the Jews, which followed after the law of righteousness, I mean, they tried to get that right relationship with God by keeping the law that God gave to them on Mount Sinai and gave to Moses. They tried to get that righteousness. They tried to get that right relationship with God. They tried to keep it, or tried to get it by keeping the law, but Paul says they haven't attained it. They haven't attained it. They're not right with God. Again, they tried to get it by keeping the law, but no man can do that. No man can keep the law in its entirety. I mean, only one person walked the face of the earth that ever did that, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But no other man has kept the law in its entirety. And the book of James says, I don't know, Stry, if you guys have studied it yet, but if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of breaking all of it. And no man can get the righteousness, the right relationship with God, by keeping the law. Verse 32, wherefore? Why is that? Why have the Gentiles who didn't follow after the law attained righteousness? And why have the Jews which followed after law not attained righteousness? He says in verse 32, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They didn't get it. The Jews didn't get it because they were trying to work for it. And again, Paul would say, it's not of works. Nobody can work their way to the right relationship with God. We all fail if we tried. Every man has failed. Every man has fallen short. Every man has missed the mark of the law. Then it says there, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, let me go ahead and read verse 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 33 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. And again, let me go back, as Paul did. In Isaiah's context, the stumbling stone was another nation. Because when the Assyrians came to bring God's punishment on Israel, instead of turning back to God, instead of depending on the power of God to help them defend themselves against the Assyrians, they went to Egypt. They said, we'll get the Egyptians to help us. And Isaiah said, that was your stumbling stone. You instead of depending on me, you went to Egypt. You stumbled over that stumbling stone that was there. Now, in Paul's context, the stumbling stone was Christ, the Messiah. I mean, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah. They had looked forward to it coming. They had studied the prophets. But when he came, he didn't come like they expected him to come. They expected him to come as a conquering king. Now, one day he's going to come back as a conquering king. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that he's Lord. But the first time he came, he didn't come like the Jews expected him to come. He didn't come as a conquering king. He came as a suffering servant. So they rejected him. He became a stumbling stone to them, rather than the salvation that he was bringing to all mankind, not just to Jews, but to the Jews. Rather than the salvation he was bringing, he became something they tripped over. He became a rock of offense. Now, we know him as a rock, but it's a rock of offense because when they rejected God's Son, they offended God. When they rejected the price that he paid on Calvary, they offended God. Christ, again, who was to come to be their rock of salvation, became a stone that they stumbled over. Notice what it says in that last part of that verse, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on Christ shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on Christ will have that righteousness that the Bible talks about, have that right relationship with God. Even in Isaiah's day, if Israel had trusted in God instead of depending on Egypt, they could have defeated the Assyrians. The Assyrians wouldn't have beat them. They wouldn't have, you know, dispersed them across the world as they did. But they turned away from God. They broke the covenant that God had made with them. And in their blindness, I'm talking about the Jews in Paul's day, in their blindness, they rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Savior. And God opened the door to the Gentiles. He opened the door to us. And today, God is calling a people to himself both Jews and Gentiles. Good thing for us, because we're Gentiles. Good thing for us. But I would remind you, he's not done with the Jews. He still has, they are still part of his plan for this earth. There are still some things that need to happen through the Jewish nation that are part of God's plan, have been part of God's plan all along. So, again, Paul's dealing with these two issues. We'll talk about it some more next week when we get into chapter 10. But thank you for being here tonight. Keep those in prayer that we've mentioned. Again, men will be meeting over there, Brother Don, and ladies will be meeting up here in the front, Kelly. So let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight.